Blog Talk Radio.
I have never been more hopeful about America. Not because I think I have all the answers. Not because I'm naive about the magnitude of our challenges. I'm hopeful because of you.
You can't give up on hope. Each other's hand we hold. We're on a long, hard road, but we travel it together. We pull each other up. We fill each other's cup. So we all have enough. We're all in this together. Oh, we're halfway there.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Live. We only have a few days before the election, so please make sure you study up on the issues, listen to past Sunday Morning Lives where we talk about the propositions, and have your ballot marked so when you go into the polls, you are ready. I'm Isidro Person Lynn, your producer and host, and the chat room will be open today because most of today's program is pre-recorded. So if you have comments, join us for a lively discussion in the chat room. If you're at the show page, scroll down and the chat room should magically appear. And coming up, we will be talking about juicing, veganism, and raw food diet. If you'd like more information about anything you've heard today, please go to SundayMorningLive.net. That's SundayMorningLive.net for all the links that are announced today. And sit back and relax, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live.
But it leads to a better place. Yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together. We don't turn back. We leave no one behind. We pull each other up. We draw strength from our victories, and we learn from our mistakes.
We're halfway there. So stand up if you can. Responsibility.
Wow, thanks for that jolt of energy this morning. That's the Forward song, and we really like to thank them for letting us use that song this morning. It's directed by Graham Hinman, produced by Fred Goering, and it's the link is on SundayMorningLive.net, featuring Neo, Herbie Hancock, Johnny Resnick, Delta Ray, Natasha Bedingfield. I might have murdered all those names, but anyway, thanks to them, because we wanted to just, we were talking about veganism this morning, but we wanted to remind you the elections are in just a few days. Wednesday morning, we want to wake up victorious. We don't accept any other outcome, so let's hope and pray everything goes the way it should. All right, so I'm Isidro Person Lynn. Thanks for joining us. Today's program was inspired by the change that I have experienced in my life over, 6 months ago. My son, Jareen Person Lynn, who is always talking about, you know, how we need to stop using our money needlessly. And if you're ever on his page, just join us, J-A-R-I-M, Jareen Person Lynn, and you'll see how he pretty much, he calls it brass knuckles. He uses that brass knuckled approach to get us to do the right things with our money and our investments and, you know, stop buying weeds and rims and things like that. But anyway, somehow, I think he also saw, he saw first, and he posted it, and then I saw, and I got totally turned off, but it was called Forks Over Knives. And we're going to play a little clip from that in just a bit, but I'd just like to thank him for turning his life around. So it's not just about the money, it's also about the food and avoiding health bills and all that kind of thing, because juicing, eating raw foods, and just trying to have a, be more conscientious about what you put in your body is so critical. So many people are living off pills. Are you one of those who takes more than 5-10 pills? I just spoke with a lady yesterday whose mother is taking like 10 or more pills, and it's just amazing, the pharmaceutical industry, and thank God for them when they're needed. But as you will find out today, a lot of what we're consuming just relieves symptoms and it doesn't change, and you can heal yourself. So later on in the second hour, we'll talk to a woman who healed herself by juicing and eating raw food and being, and she calls it like 97% vegan. Her name is Vanessa Thomas. She is the wife of a longtime friend, Stan Thomas. We worked for years together on the LA Black Business Expo. He's a wonderful photographer, but he has a day job. He does other things, and he also is a musician, so many things, and he is a foodie, and he loves eating, so it's amazing that his wife does the juicing thing, so she'll tell us all about that, and awesome, what a testament, please stay tuned for that. But anyway, before her, we'll hear from Kayla Mason, who's out of Detroit. She's from South LA, but or Southern California, I should say, but she is now studying in Detroit, so we'll hear her story, and also, we will hear from Chef Rashid Stone Coyote Patton, and he came and did a class for Black Women for Wellness, and just delicious things. When you know, you hear veganism, a lot of you turn off or like want to throw up or something, like it's terrible, but it's not. But we start the morning off with Karis Molina Brown. Now, Karis, I have known since she was a child. She happens to be my cousin, but she is also an author now, and what we did, the voice of the sound will sound a little different because we're in the kitchen, you know, actually videotaping and audio taping for today's show, because the videotape of what she's showing you is now on YouTube. And this is the first installment of us moving over to YouTube. As you know, we only have 5 more shows. So this will be the first installment. So thanks to her coming over to the Sunday Morning Live kitchen and juicing up for us. Now, you're going to hear blenders and juicers and, you know, all kind of noise, but I think you can hear everything just fine, so that's why you'll hear the change in voice. But before we get started, we want to set the stage and tell you and let you listen to just a little bit, and you can go to Hulu, HULU.com, and watch this whole movie free. It's called Forks Over Knives, and it's like a number of things that you've seen. You may have already seen Food Inc. and Eating and all these other things that people are doing, but it's become so dire that people are making videos about this stuff so that you can actually be educated about the food that you're consuming. So let's take a listen right now to Forks Over Knives.
The best-known statin drug, Lipitor, is the most prescribed drug ever in the world.
Almost 1 in 5 American 4-year-olds are now considered to be obese.
Though Mexican-American and African-American children are still more likely to be overweight.
This could be the first generation of children in the United States that lives less than its parents.
We spend $2.2 trillion a year on health care, over 5 times more than the defense budget. In fact, we pay more per person for health care than any industrialized country in the world. Yet we're sicker than ever.
You see, there's no money in healthy people, and there's no money in dead people. The money is in the middle. People who are alive, sort of, but with one or more chronic conditions.
Obesity, diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure are all diet-related health issues that cost this country more than $120 billion each year.
Every minute, a person in the U.S. is killed by heart disease. 1,500 people a day die from cancer. Combined, these two diseases kill over 1 million Americans every year. Cases of diabetes are skyrocketing, particularly among our younger population.
Diabetes. Diabetes.
Life-threatening diabetes.
1 out of 3 people born in the U.S. today will develop this crippling condition during their lifetime. Millions of others suffer from a host of degenerative diseases. Millions more of us are so stimulated by sugar, coffee, and energy drinks that we've masked our chronic fatigue. But could there be a single solution to all of these problems? A solution so comprehensive, yet so straightforward, that it's mind-boggling that more of us haven't taken it seriously?
Someone has to stand up and say that the answer isn't another pill. The answer is spinach.
A growing number of researchers claim that if we eliminate or greatly reduce refined, processed, and animal-based foods, we can prevent, and in certain cases even reverse, several of our worst diseases. They say all we need to do is adopt a whole foods, plant-based diet. It sounds almost too simple to be true.
Almost too simple to be true. And I'd like to thank Jirene Person-Lynn again for turning me on to that movie. Now, that part was just some facts and figures. Later on, they show you how they're treating the meat that we're consuming. They're treating the animals. It just will, if you watch that and still want to stay, go good on you. But if you go to SundayMorningLive.net, you'll see pictures of T-shirts that Jirene came up with. He has one that says vegan, and he has another one that says vegan light. Because, as you know, when you try to change your eating habits, things don't always stay the way you want them to. A couple of years back, Shani Bayard, Dr. Shani, had a seminar at her house, and she played the movie Eating. Well, I was off chicken for 2 years after that. You know, it showed how these chickens are caged and they can't move around, and it just turned my stomach. But then, sooner or later, that Albertson's fried chicken started making its way back into my diet, and I was back full force eating, you know, whatever. And then when Jirene did this, it was also after a period of time where I had been diagnosed with diabetes. They're trying to give me surgery and all these other things. And I said, I have to make a change. Luckily, we're going to talk with a young lady later on. She's in her 20s, so it's not always those who are facing life-threatening things where we make changes. So we'll hear from her. But right now, and here's another young lady. She's still in her 20s as well. And this is Karis Molina Brown. Now, again, right after this quick ID, we are in the kitchen, so the voice is going to sound different, but you'll hear, I think, very well. So let's listen to Karis Molina Brown. We're juicing it up in the Sunday Morning Live kitchen.
Good morning. My name is Zachary Lynn. You're listening to Sunday Morning Live. Thanks for listening.
We're talking this morning about veganism and juicing and raw food. Diets and all that, and Karis Molina Brown is the one who turned me on to a lot of things. I started a long time ago with Chef Rashiba, who's off and on, but then when she moved back out here and started telling me about different things, I was more consistent with it. So that's why we invited her to Sunday Morning Live to tell us about juicing. So let's do some juicing. Why should we be juicing?
Why should we be juicing? Because the way that we get life is from the foods that we eat. And really what we're eating is sunlight. If we're eating vegetables or fruits or things that are grown from the earth, we're eating the energy they get from the sun. And then when we eat, well, when those who eat meat, you're still just eating the vegetables that are now in the muscle fibers of the animals you're eating, which is still from the sun. So when you juice fresh produce, and actually even when you eat fresh raw produce, you get a lot more fresh life force from it, and you don't have to break down things. Like, when you cook food, it's partially decomposed. I mean, when you burn something up, it's gone, and ashes, well, you can eat them and they won't hurt you, they're also not nutritious. So when you cook food, you're taking it away from its perfect level of nutrition. And then when you juice food, you're getting everything out of it that your digestive system has to work to absorb. So when you juice something and you drink it, you've absorbed it within about 5 minutes. Wow. And so it's just direct life that you're getting from your foods.
So let's make some juice. What are we going to do?
Well, I combine everything. Sometimes there's a food combining issue that people will tell you. I've never had a problem with that. I usually just throw whatever I've got into my juice, and I try to keep superfoods and good, fresh, organic produce around. But normally what I like to put in any given juice is greens. So we're doing kale and cilantro right here. And also some citrus. So we've got a lemon and an orange. We've got apples, which are great for sweetness. Apples are really good to juice. Some strawberries and some grapes. And I think that's it for our juice today. But you can also put in, one thing that I usually love to put in is ginger, a little garlic, actually. If you put just a clove or two of garlic in, you can't really taste it. It's really good for you. And so, yeah, you just throw it all in and drink it. It tastes surprisingly good. You might not think so, but if you were here, we could just give you some through this. One day we'll be able to do that. Then you would see that it's delicious. The first thing you need is a good knife.
I usually use a ceramic knife because when you cut fresh produce, if you're taking it apart with metal, I mean, think about going through the cell walls of whatever it is that you're eating, and if metal touches it, then it's quicker to oxidize, which is partially decomposing, like an apple turning brown. And if you use ceramic instead of metal, then it won't oxidize so quickly, and it affects the taste of what you're eating and also just the health of it because it's not decomposing as fast. So taking a knife, taking my citrus fruit. Some people juice the fruit with the peels on it, but personally, I think that makes it taste a little too bitter, so I don't like doing it. But if you want to, go for it. Bitterness doesn't really bother you. Bitterness is one of the only tastes that I don't like. Most things I'm totally cool with, but bitter, when stuff's bitter, I'm like, get it away from me. So, yeah. And, oh, that's another thing about being vegan and raw. When I first started my journey to being raw, which was about 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I decided that I would never eat anything that did not taste delicious. My ex-husband and I were doing it together, and one day we made this smoothie, because we did a lot of experimentation, that was just horrible. It was awful. And I told him, like, listen, because he was actually the one. People thought that I made him vegan and raw, but no, he actually was the one who drove the whole thing. I said, listen, I will not do this if it doesn't taste really, really good. Not just okay, but I have to love my food. Love it. So, yeah, that just goes to show it's not going to taste bad. Nothing that I recommend tastes gross, ever. Against my religion. My food religion. And this is a quicker way to, well, with the juicer, you can just put the core right in. Mm-hmm. But a quicker way to cut an apple, for those of y'all who don't like the cores or whatever, is just that way. We're going to put the core in, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then so... And so.
Cool.
Okay, and then we have our lemon to peel. And then I think that's the last thing we have to cut before we're ready to go.
What did I do with the strawberry?
Oh, they're right there.
You see them,
yeah,
on paper.
They're over in the drainer. You don't have to peel anything. You don't have to de-seed anything. Actually, having a few seeds, usually when I eat an apple, especially if I'm on a road trip or something, I just eat the core. And they say that seeds have, what is it they have in there that's poisonous, some type of...
pectin? No.
No, it's like arsenic or something. It's not arsenic, but it's something. And, but actually, little amounts of it, it's not arsenic. Oh, this is going to drive me crazy. But little amounts of it are not bad for you at all.
It smells so good for those of you who don't know. Mm-hmm. Just the vapors from these fresh fruits and vegetables just make everything smell clean.
We're cutting through those cell walls.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right.
Now, do you compost?
I wish I did. When I lived in the country, I did, but now in Los Angeles, I've been meaning actually to find an urban farm to give my compost to, but no, and it's a shame because the pulp from juicing is the perfect, perfect compost.
Mm.
But, yeah. No.
Okay. Shame. All right, so let's,
Okay, so we've got everything.
So we've got the
kale.
Oh, I
need a little cup to put under.
And we have the strawberries and some grapes. And the cups are up there.
Here?
Okay. Yeah.
I think these little guys.
You want the little ones? Okay.
I think, because you'd be surprised
with
a little juice.
Yeah.
Mate.
Okay.
All right, so where's my on button? Aha, ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Usually I start with the greens and end with the greens because it cleans out the juicer more.
Oh, okay. These kale greens came from Dr. Clayton's garden.
It's amazing
just
greens.
Just a few minutes ago. This is cilantro. Okay.
Ooh, it smells so good.
Oh, I love cilantro. Oh, what fragrance, I would say.
Oh,
and you put some citrus here.
Mm-hmm.
Put some lemon. And some orange.
Oh, you know what? One of us is going to get all the cilantro because I didn't break it in two.
So,
well, but maybe you
can
pour it into a cup.
Yeah, make it.
Yeah,
okay.
And now, you can get a juicer like this, which has a spinning blade.
It's the Jack Lane.
Or you can get a masticating juicer, which looks like a big plastic screw.
Uh-huh.
And the masticating juicers get more juice. They're more expensive unless you get a hand crank one, which work really well. I've had one of those before. But they get more juice out of it, and also they don't kill certain enzymes. The spinning blade kills. But honestly, the drawback from masticating juicers is that they take a lot longer. So, like, at the retreats that I do, I never use masticating juicers. I always use blade juicers because it just takes 2 days long. So.
Oh, you just don't even take them off the vine. You just stick them on in.
Yeah.
She just put a bunch of grapes in there. Now she's putting in strawberries. I forgot this is audio. And by the way, you can go to YouTube. We'll put the link at SundayMorningLive.net where you can see what Karis is doing. For those of us who are watching it on YouTube and not listening on Sunday Morning Live, we can see. She's just throwing them in there, honey. Let me tell you,
really?
it's going.
It's not hard. She's just putting... it's so easy. And you can experiment, and if it's nasty, just add some more strawberries.
Something else sweet, huh?
Yeah, and you're good. Apples make anything taste good. Strawberries.
Yes.
And you can just add a couple strawberries, and it'll taste really good.
Right.
So, really, you can't mess it up, really.
There's banana over there. That's more for a smoothie.
Yeah, I don't really juice bananas. They end up... messy.
There's no juice in a banana.
The juice are weird.
Yeah.
But it's not good. Got a grape escaping.
Now, because this has green in it, is this considered a green machine?
A green juice?
Green machine. That's called the green machine. Yeah. We'll hear about that from, if we haven't already, from Kayla Mason, who is in Detroit. And she talked about the green machine.
Look at that. We have perfect amount of juice.
Wow, so we have 2 cups. Now look at how the juice is.
Separate.
Wow. But still, look at that color.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. All right, so I think we're good to go.
Okay.
We'll pour off a little of this and this so that we get some cilantro in place.
Okay.
And actually, we should stir them around a bit so that they they don't stay separated.
Okay.
Okay, so the question was, can you heal yourself through juicing? And I'm not a doctor. So disclaimer, but I call it miraculous healing through juicing, just because you're getting so many pure nutrients that if you don't juice, then you never get that amount of nutrients and that complexity and that just measurement of the amount that you get from all the different things, and also your body doesn't have to do any work to absorb it. So it kind of gives you a nice little jolt, and a lot of times, I talk a lot about food coma, because when you eat raw and organic, you never, ever get food coma. When I first went raw, I would make these really intricate raw foods like pizza and ice cream and all these kinds of things and eat until I was roll me over full at like 10 o'clock at night and then wake up and have lost 2 pounds the next day. I mean, it was crazy, crazy. And so the nice thing about juicing is that after you drink your juice, because usually, I mean, when I juice, I do about double this much, so it would be both of those. And usually I do it as like a mid-morning thing or a mid-afternoon thing. And you get such a jolt of energy afterward. And also you should drink it as quickly as possible because with every passing moment, it oxidizes and some of the little enzymes in there will die. And so, you want to get it in your system.
Okay, well, let's get some before it oxidizes.
It looks like dessert, doesn't it? Mm. Let's stir it up here.
Do you want to grab some of mine and put this one
on? Oh, you do it? Oh, yeah, we already mixed them together. All right,
so just because it separates doesn't mean it's crazy. And just because it's green doesn't mean it's bad. So,
good.
Bon
appétit.
Health.
Yes. And delicious health.
This is good. I mean, it really is. It's
like candy.
Now, kale, I love it because I'll actually eat it. You know, like, just eat a leaf from the garden. I love kale, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't taste the kale. You
kale is a superfood.
Mm-hmm.
You just Google kale superfood.
Mm-hmm.
All the amazing stuff will come up.
Woo! Mm. Now, if she had put the ginger in here, it would have this kick, and it is so good. But I really like this.
Mm-hmm. Put about a square inch of ginger in, about that much.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Gives you a nice kick. It's good for your digestive system, too. It's very warming
mm-hmm.
in the whole climate.
So, Karis, you say that you do these bliss outs, retreats.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that.
Well, they're mostly about intuitive development. And so people who, right now there's this whole gaggle of people who are discovering that they're intuitive
mm-hmm.
and really remembering, because we're all intuitive as children. But, you know, it gets crushed out of you because our culture does not really accept intuition as a recognized form of gathering information.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, though, it's getting more normal to be intuitive. And so what happens is the bliss outs, and the reason I call them that is because it's my belief that you get further faster with intuition and just general life satisfaction if you learn through joy and through fun and through connecting with like-minded people rather than like the old academic scientific model of beating down every idea to make sure it goes all the way through the gauntlet in order to accept it. It's more my opinion that if you get together, there's this amazing synthesis and alchemy that happens. So what I end up doing is providing this space for people to come. So usually we rent like a beautiful retreat house and a cool place, and we do cool things. Like a couple weeks ago, we just went up to Mount Shasta and did a Native American sweat lodge ceremony and all this cool stuff. And then these people come in, and the people who are drawn to the Bliss House are always these amazing people. So they come, and they all get together, and what ends up happening is they meet each other. So I facilitate it, but I don't really lead it. I mean, I lead some meditations, and we have amazing food, and da-da-da. But really, it's just all about the people coming together, and it creates this wonderful, like, bright star of just amazingness this whole weekend. And three people at the Bliss Out in Shasta told me it was the best weekend of their life.
Wow.
I'm shocked.
Wow. But you said there's this energy on Mount Shasta. She does these videos, and you can go to, what's your YouTube handle?
It's Karis Brown Malloy, I believe.
Karis Brown, M-A-L-L-O-Y. And she has all these videos from, you know, her experiences there and leading to it and going way back and... What was that cleanse you and Terry did?
The Albert gallbladder cleanse. Oh,
that's,
man, that was so gross.
Horrible.
It was
but,
so gross.
But, you
but I'm glad I did it. It worked. It worked the way it was supposed to.
It was lemon juice and olive oil.
Olive oil followed by lemon juice. 6 ounces and 6 ounces. And, oh, God, I thought I was going to pass out.
I don't even want to know. But
so
I have tried the olive oil and something else, and it's really hard to drink that. I do have a question because I'm thinking some people watching are saying, what is that piece of jewelry?
My bindi.
Your who?
Bindi.
What is that?
These come from the Middle East, the tradition. And over there, women wear them to show if they're married or not. That's not why I wear it. About 3 months ago, I guess, I started getting this really weird feeling. I should have something on my forehead. And this is what being intuitive is like. It's confusing. Like, you have to figure out what the heck is going on. And then later you'll get validation that what you did was right. But at the time, when you're going on intuitive feelings, sometimes you wonder about your sanity, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I would even touch my forehead, I'd be like, man, something needs to be there. What am I even talking about? Because I didn't know anything about bendies. And then I saw a couple images of them one night, late at night. I'm doing research on the internet like we do, you know, everybody does it. And so I see what they are, but I noticed that most of them were just like made out of glass and plastic. And so I found one person that made them out of real crystals. And this one's a lapis lazuli.
Mm-hmm.
And lapis lazuli like brings together your higher chakras and your lower chakras, and it helps ground and activate and all that kind of thing. So I have only about 5 bindis now, but they're all different crystals. And so in the morning I look at them and see which one I want to wear that day, kind of by its resonance, and then it's infusing my third eye, so my pineal gland, with whatever the properties of the stone is. So, for instance, I went to a wedding earlier summer, I used the rose quartz one, because it made me feel very loving, and it made my intuition have a flavor of being loving. Sometimes I wear the jade one, which has certain properties. Sometimes I wear an onyx one, which is good for, like, protection and really deep grounding, stuff like that. So that's the busy story.
Well, that's beautiful. I like that one that you have there.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many people are going to start wearing them now because of you.
I don't know. Well, it's good for you. I think I'm going to start making them, too. I don't think they're hard to make, and they're not expensive to make. You just have to get the stuff. So
she's an author. She has a book, Journey of the Starseed, and a number of others. One is coming. How can people go to your website and support your work or maybe even join you on a Bliss House?
Ooh, it's easy. My website is charismelina.com, CharisMelina. There you'll find everything I'm doing.
Yeah, there's a link out everywhere, but follow her on Google Plus or
Facebook,
and you know she's using social media to get the word out to what she believes. And a lot of people, they ask me like, do you really think that she's, you know, they ask me to translate what she's talking about, but I'm like,
weird.
All I know is right now, I'm standing in the home that she helped me manifest. Now, all my adult life, I wanted to get a home, but I was from New Jersey, and I was like, I don't really want to get a home in California, and, you know, whatever. But my kids are from here. My youngest is 30. It's like, are we going to get a home or not? And she was like, all you have to do, and she told me what you had to do, and I believe in God, and I believe in, you know, the power of the universe, all that. I believe. I'm a believer. But sometimes the things that you want, you have to focus, and that's what you help me do. And we're here in the kitchen now. After all those years, well, you know, Jaya, Kweku, all of us, you know, we kind of pulled it all together. But, and your sister, Michael, she helped me kind of come with the steps as well. But it was just amazing. So I just want to tell you, don't think this stuff is all woo. Some of this stuff really, really.
Once it starts working, it's one of those things. I mean, no one can convince you it's true if it's never happened, mm-hmm. but once it happens, no one can convince you it's not true.
Right.
So.
It's amazing. I thought she was going to be, you know, known her from when she was my cousin, but she was a little girl, and I thought she was going to be the singer, the beauty queen. She won a lot of pageants and all that, and she's doing something totally different.
Way better.
and better, because I'm a beneficiary. So thanks for listening. Start juicing, and check her out at CharisMelina.com. CharisMelina, CharisMelina.com. That's cool. I like the way you did that.
Thank you.
Took all those extra last names off.
I know, right?
All right,
thank you, Rossi. But wait, she promised us
Hail
dessert.
Hail Mary macaroons. I found them at Whole Foods.
Hail Mary, M-E-R-R-Y.
Yes, Mary, with a little blue Mary Queen on there.
Now, we're supposed to be vegan. And
no, their ingredients, me. Organic shredded coconut, organic maple syrup, natural raw almond flour, organic extra virgin olive oil, pure Madagascar bourbon vanilla, and sea salt. So that's it.
Bourbon vanilla?
It's the second to last ingredient.
Okay. Where did you get these from?
Whole Foods.
We were looking for chocolate. We were going to make strawberries just in chocolate, but they didn't have them, so here we are.
I figured this recipe
out.
Let's
see if it's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's heaven.
Mmm. I'm not just lying. You know, it tastes like cookie dough. A little bit. With some
chocolate.
I love that consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So, the things that you make can be great.
I don't eat nasty food. Have I ever told you to eat anything that was gross?
No.
Ever.
Coming up next, Chef Rashid Stone Coyote Patton. He cooks all this stuff, which is really not cooking because it's all raw. And he assembles these things. And so we'll hear from him. Thanks for listening.
This is stupid. This is like, this ain't supposed to taste dessert.
Hi, this is Sakari Lynn. This morning while listening to Sunday Morning Live, why not have breakfast at Derek's Jamaican Cuisine? Breakfast is served piping hot until 1 p.m. today. For directions, visit www.derricksjamaicancuisine.com.
And thank you very much, Sakari, for that. By the way, Derek's Jamaican does have vegan meals in terms of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, fresh juices, and he even has some tofu dishes and things like that. So you can always get more information at derricksjamaican.com. So that was Charis Melina Brown, and we thank her for that. And coming up next is a portion of a longer interview that I did with Chef Patton. The Mason's coming up later. Patton. So I had to advance it because of time this morning, so we kind of start in the middle, but I just wanted to let you know that that is what's happening, and we will present the whole thing at some point. I will upload it and then post the link on SundayMorningLive.net. But right now, we still have a good segment left here of Chef Rashid. You are listening to Sunday Morning Live. Let's take a listen. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Sunday Morning Live. I'm Isidro Person Lynn, and that is the voice of Rashid Stone Coyote Patton. And we're talking today about this whole thing called veganism, juicing, raw food diets, all those kinds of things that a lot of people turn their nose up. And Rashid, I really today am speaking directly to African Americans, and I'll tell you why. Because this woman wrote, and we'll hear from her in a bit, but she wrote a blog called Juicing While Black, and her name is Kayla. And she was talking about how she was on her way into a meeting, and she had her jar with her green juice in it, and this woman ran into her and said, hey, you know, what's in that jar? And she said, well, it's kale, it's this, it's that, you know, went through the whole list of things, celery, apple, whatever. And the lady, both of them said at the same time, green machine. And, you know, and she was saying, you know what, that was a white woman. I never have that experience with black people. Whenever she goes to these seminars or these things, you know, places dishes, cooking, whatever, she feels like she's one of few or one of the only. Has that been your experience?
Oh, love, you just said a key component to my journey. You know, as they used to say, there's an old term that every time there's a flock of a crowd of classes of people, there's always either one more or one indigenous person among the crowd being a teacher in some shape or form. So what I mean by that is basically, as I did my dinners and the many things that I did years ago, I was really like almost the only one. I would see a couple of, you know, either African-American or indigenous or, you know, people of Indian descent or Asian descent very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always just remember that because, and I had asked a question, you know, some time ago, it's like, what's going on with the inhabiting or more or less picking up this form of food and how can I get it to the people? You know, how can I reach more of our people, you know, in many different ways? And, you know, it was one of those things that, number one, well, if you go to certain parts of South Central and different places, it's not presented over there, you know. So we would have to make sure, and that was one thought that was always in my head, it would be nice if there was really like a serious, healthy market built in those areas, you know. And then you bring the classes, you bring it, you know, once upon a time, Crenshaw had, you know, a market over there, and it had a vegetarian place here and there. But the closest thing that you have is Simply Wholesome, and I believe the gentleman right there on Slauson, you know. But the key is, like, how can we reach the people? Well, I used to think those thoughts for a while, but as time went on, and the more catering and more events, we start reaching more and more people of Nubia and in different forms, and it started expanding, you know. But also, there's also, once again, what I talked earlier, and I said that we also have a lot of ways to have been stuck through from a form of religion to a form of a form of eating that have been a way that we have accepted to be our own way of what we think our ancestors ate. And my responsibility in responding to that was to bring forth to all of our people of color is to remember that was part of a master's food, not your food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and if you want to know your food, you just, when you research, start recognizing nature. You came from nature. You were built in nature, you know, and those foods were the foods that kept your body firm and strong and kept you running up mountains and being able to cross rivers and lakes. And, you know, you had tribes that can run, literally run from one place to another and end up from this part of Akibulan, which would be the next part all the way to what's considered Ethiopia, which really is a part of each other. But they would be able to move their body and not stop running, you know. And I'm lately in these years now, I've been a prime example. I've been fasting on water for 3 days, testing my spirit, and I run in the canyons, and I do 15 miles running, you know. And that's without the food source. So there's many levels you can go. But just imagine if you're putting in, you know, the true proteins that the body cells can absorb, because that's the key, absorption. So most of the time when we say absorption, we say, well, the body will absorb plenty of raw foods. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes we want to give this to people and our families out there is that key is in whole base foods. Whole base meaning vegetables, fruits, and everything in its whole form. May it be cooked, may it be raw. Because even in some forms of all whole food based foods, and it's all raw, you might not receive everything. Now, you receive a lot more when you're juicing something.
Mm-hmm.
But you receive even more when you put it all in a Vitamix because there's no separation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's those components, you know, and I believe that why I brought the, some of the terms up before is that a lot of people have been taught things through their churches and different things, and they eat a certain way, and then they tend not to want to turn around or take a challenge of something new. And I would say, all good people out there of African descent and many creeds and colors descent, come on home. Come on home and recognize that your ancestors are asking you to eat consciously and not end up in the place where we always end up so soon. You know, I've seen it again and again. I've been there through the cancer battles. I've been there through from so many different situations, diabetes, and you know, and it gets painful after a while because you're sitting there and you're like, you're hoping that you could just, all you have to do is pick up this vegetable, pick up this seed,
and you say that, and people look at you like, no, I have to have my salt. I have to have my this, and when you brought up the term church, if you go to a black funeral, after the service, you will almost always have fried chicken, you know, macaroni and cheese or some kind of mashed potatoes, green beans, rolls, sweet potato pie or something like that. In other words, it's like this is the menu, the national menu. And or when you go to our family gatherings, you know, the barbecue, the chicken and waffles, the all that kind of stuff that we do that's very concentrated and we rarely pick up the raw fruit or vegetable. And and we'll look at people crazy when they even suggest it. But when you go to the dialysis centers where people are sitting there hooked up to machines or the chemotherapy centers and all these other places, who's sitting in those chairs? It's us. You know,
that's right.
It's us.
We have love becomes one of the sickest people on the planet because we have totally left away from the many indigenous ancient ways that was presented hundreds of thousands of years ago. See, some people can speak on thousands of years, but we're way older than 600,000 years. Or, I mean, 6,000 years. We're hundreds of thousands of years old. And in that, our food and our seeds came from the stars. And you put those seeds into the earth and you start applying those foods and start applying all these things to change inside of yourself, and that will be life-changing forever, you know, and you'll be able to move and live and make love long and stay strong in so many ways because your body is living up to its true testimony of itself because that's how it was designed, okay? It was designed to be in health. It was designed to live a life of longevity, not just 100 years and be sick, but hundreds of years and be alive and to be present and still to be pumping and to be a great great of the great grandfathers and the great great of the great grandmothers and see your children come and say, yes, here I am. Because that dark matter that stands in your skin gives you the present to let you know how old you are, that you have balanced yourself out through the sun. You have balanced yourself out through the universe. And you're not going to take advantage of the opportunity of step to the other side and recognize that you don't need to be sitting down in no county hospital sick, you know? And I say this because, you know, recently at my mom's memorial service, you know, this is, you know, I spoke and I sung for my mom, you know, and at the end, you know, everybody was ready to go to go eat, and it was the same food that you're talking about. But what I did, and what about 30 people that, tribal family and others, we all left and went to a vegan restaurant, okay? And we all sat down and I said, this is the way I would rather celebrate my mother's life because this is what she was trying to get to, but it was just a little too late. And also, if I'm going to celebrate her ascending back to the stars, I'm going to celebrate that in plant-based food. I'm going to celebrate that in life, not in applying something that's dead that has nothing to do with my cells or my body, it's foreign. It's foreign. So I take the foreign away, and I come to the truth. And I tell you that made my day better, you know, that made my daughter's day better, and everyone's day better around it, you know. So it's once again, it's being locked in certain ceremonies, you know, that you see certain people do. They say, well, this is the old way, you know. One tribal family member of another tribe, that was what it said. They said, well, when we do our sweat lodge, we want to on this vegan property, we want to probably, you know, bring meat, okay? But then, now the vegan's saying, well, there's a two-part to this. So the vegan's saying, okay, but why can't we just put a vegetable on the altar? Well, and then one person says, well, that's changing the tribal ways. You said, so, and then the other person says, wait a minute, but you're going to go to a market, buy a piece of meat, and put it on the altar. But a thousand and thousands of years ago, they went out and killed the animal, did it themselves, and put it on the altar. So how are you saying you're honoring the ancestors' ways when that's not how they did it? They went and did it. Now, if you're going to go out and kill it yourself, then there's a different respect there.
Yeah.
But you're going to use something that's been slaughtered a whole different way. How is that on? You might as well accept the vegetable.
And put it in the freezer for months and months. But listen, let me ask you this, because the election is coming Tuesday, and there's this one proposition on there. I don't know if you've been keeping up, because you're so busy. I hear it. But the one about being able to know that the food that we're eating has been spliced and altered and changed. Are you keeping up with that? I think it's Prop 37. I forget which number. I could look it up. But are you keeping up with that one where they want labeling, accurate labeling of foods?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, you have you have some pretty big companies out there, you know, and laws and things that are being passed that are altering, once again, the natural ability even from fruits and vegetables and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we're doing, tribes and nations, we're getting together. We have sacred seeds, we have many things, and we're putting food back on the land and preparing ourselves to feed all the people we can. Because, you know, people have come here and have been so self-destructive for the power of money and to mistreat this earth as well as mistreat people. And it's created a very bad off balance, and you don't know what you're eating some of these days, you know? So you really have to focus in and pay attention to where you buy stuff, where you get stuff, you know, and how you want to live and what you apply in all of that, because there's just a lot going on. Yes, there is. It's a lot going on.
Okay, so I'll get the number of that proposition. I'm pulling up Black Women for Wellness. They have a whole thing about it, and it's really interesting, but I just want people, you know, just like right now, I did a whole show on this a couple of weeks ago, and I can't remember the number, and I don't want people to go in there and not remember these numbers, because they're very crucial. The other thing is, as a man,
yes,
I know so many women who will take that leap, who will go into veganism, or go into raw food, or go into, you know, just plant-based diets, but men, a lot of men are meat eaters in such a way that they will not, do not want to ever give it up.
Right.
And as a man, what do you have to say to other men about this?
Well, I'll say this. Number one, there's 20 or even more to 20 or more women on the planet more than men. There's a purpose for that. Number two, I have to say to the man that, remember, you know, you're seeing the female rise into her higher self more because she has something that she carries a little different from us. She carries a life cycle through her for a 12 cycle, okay? She is in tune very fast, and she can shift very fast. So what we have to do as men, I would say, pay attention. You know, I see so many vegetarian and vegan women, they have to choose a meat eater for their man because it's not enough, you know. And then they try to challenge him. you know, to get him to eat right, because we think, and somehow some of us think, and I've seen it even in the tribal level, is that some of us eating meat keeps you
masculine,
aggressive, masculine and aggressive, and it helps build your muscle mass. No, it don't. Greens, dark greens, build your muscle mass like never before. You know, you can build your body up. You know, one hand bunch of spinach is equivalent to 2 gallons of cow's milk, which the milk is basically a fatty acid, and the spinach is a true protein for the body. Beans is a protein for the body. You know, I can go on and on about those different categories, but men, you know, it's that whole thing of earlier saying it's time to wake up and listen and pay attention, because right now the energy on the planet, it is the woman's time. And her time is to bring balance back. For the ones that carry that notion of energy, of shift, one element is food. The other element is her personal relationship with the earth and how she applied to give that relationship back would also balance out the relationship. That can help man apply certain things back to himself. So right now we're in that center part of listening, paying attention to it, getting up, doing something about it, which is the will to take action, you know, and you can see more men eventually getting there and going there, you know, and but it's definitely the massive level on the planet is way more vegan or raw food or vegetarian women on the planet than there are men, and it's all about, you know, look, you got to shift.
Yeah, because you want to keep up with her. She doesn't want to be a widow. Listen, it's vote yes on 37. That's Prop 37, mandatory labeling of genetically engineered food. And that's what we're talking about. And so we could go, I mean, this thing goes around because somebody's sitting at home saying, well, the air is polluted, so what difference does it make if you grow your own garden? I mean, you know, we go around and around and around. But my husband started with this garden, and you could tell the difference in homegrown anything as opposed to something that sat on a store shelf for weeks and weeks and in some kind of storage, and there's kind of weird molds that are being on things now that you didn't used to be there, and things don't mold that used to mold. You know, it's kind of crazy right now. We could go on, but now how do we, is there a website? Do you want us to follow you on Twitter? How do we keep up with Rashid?
So, easy, loving way is RAWSHEEDS. So, Rashid FusionChef.com. RashidsFusionChef.com.
That's your website.
And
okay.
Say it again.
That's your website.
So, and also, okay. You can also find Chef Rashid on Facebook.
Okay.
But from my website, it has all my contacts. It tells each event that I have coming up. I have an event coming up on the same day as Thanksgiving, but we're not calling it Thanksgiving.
Oh, the 22nd.
We're calling it some else, but it's still a form of giving, and it still will be the categories of food, but all plant-based, partly raw, partly cooked. And it's going to be in Santa Clarita at the Gentle Barn, and we'll probably have up to 100 to 200 people. And it'll be a night to remember. You'll learn about the animals. You'll also hear some stories and hear about many other things that's going on, some performances and things. So I invite people to come out. And yes, people of Nubia descent, come on out and come challenge yourself to some of this good conscious food, because I know you're out there. I've met you in many different ways and many shapes and forms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the food has soul and make you want to dance. So if you want to get up and give it a little shot, come on out there and check us out. And as you go to the website, it will have an event page and you'll see the events that comes up all the time. But it has my contact, you know. If you want, you need help, you have something going on, from anything, from any sickness, you know, I've been involved with being an assistant of getting rid of herpes and different things that people have had.
Hmm.
And to think that you can't get rid of certain things, that's someone has once again became the doctor in your mind to tell you what you can't get rid of.
Right.
And I say you can get rid of anything, and you can change anything, but you must start with this first. Think health and everything else will follow. Live health and everything else will follow. Apply health and everything else will follow. Okay? So those are the key components in transformation of ascending to a lifestyle change, not a diet, a lifestyle change, and lifestyle change benefits. Yes.
Two more quick questions, and one is, what haven't I asked you that you would really love to tell people? And the other one I want you to be thinking of, you've been very generous with your recipes and things like that. Thanksgiving is coming. People are probably still digesting the food from Halloween. I mean, the candy and all. Blah. So all of that. The people have to start thinking of alternatives for all these different days. So what can you tell a person who's going to Thanksgiving with all your families there and they all judge you by what you bring? Is there one recipe that you either have on your website or you can tell us really quickly so that people can go and bring health to the family affair?
Yes, indeed. I'll give you two forms of it. So let's talk about how we make stuffing. If you get, you can either go to Whole Foods, and this will be a shortcut version,
mm-hmm.
and you can find some either gluten-free cornbread or opposite, and what you would use is some egg replacer. You would use some, and this, you go ahead and use some vegan butter. Now, this is the cooked version first, then I'll give the raw. And you can add some organic date sugar, and then throw a little bit of cinnamon in there, and then use almond milk, hemp milk, or, you know, a choice of milks. You can stay soy-free if possible. And then mix that up, put that in the oven, 375, let it go for 15, 20 minutes, you have cornbread. Then what you do, this is how you follow this. You go grandma's and mother's old way. You chop up celery, and you chop up mushrooms and all the things that has nothing to do with meat and dairy that you would put in stuffing. Oregano, put all of your good stuff in there, mix it up, make sure it's real moist and soft, throw some cranberries in there if you like, maybe a couple of raisins if you like, you know, whatever suits you, extra corn up in there, and then go ahead, you know, and put that in the oven and watch it turn into some good jam, and I want to call you home stuffing.
Now,
on top of that, if you want the raw version of it, what you can do here is simply you get some psyllium husk, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, psyllium, you know, tends to expand when you add hot water to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you get the psyllium, use maybe 2 cups of psyllium and put it in a bowl. Get 1 bag of almond meal, put it in a bowl. Go ahead and throw some cinnamon in there. Go ahead and throw some date sugar in there. And now you know that I'm not giving you exact because I want you to do it like grandma.
Like we
you
do.
Have the
mm-hmm.
ability in your ancient way to fill out how you want the food to taste through your hands and through your thoughts. Okay? So you're going to add the cinnamon. You're going to add the organic date sugar in there. You're going to drop some corn in there. You're going to throw some sage up in there, oregano up in there. You're going to put in some sea salt up in there. You're going to mix it all up, throw some cranberries in there. You're going to throw some love by positive words up in there. And as you mix all of this together, you know, and mix it really well and make sure that it tastes right. It should taste right even before you put it in the dehydrator. So first you want to, after this, you want to flatten it out in maybe a pan or something that can fit in the dehydrator if you have a dehydrator. If you don't have a dehydrator, use your oven, put it at the lowest temperature, crack it like Pac-Man so it can breathe, so it can have a more of a drying form instead of a cooking form.
Mm-hmm.
So then go ahead and do that. And, you know, on the side, once that, it should take maybe 2-3 hours each one, and then you have some serious stuff in it. Then you can go ahead and make your natural gravy and some mashed potatoes, red mashed potatoes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and add components to that. But it's an easy, nice, soft way to make some stuffing, and it will suit you well and anyone else. But the key is add your love, add the vibration to it, put all the components in there, just how you would make the other stuff taste without the added dairy, eggs, or anything that goes in there that, once again, is telling your body, I don't want to be involved with your body.
Wow. So what is the one thing I didn't ask you that people really need to know about Rashid?
One thing that you can know about Rashid, no matter where you are, where you go, what you think, what you feel, what you know about me, what you don't know about me, the true Rashid only has one thing to give back to the people of humanity. It's I love you. Why? It's because our ancestors love you. The Creator loves you. So we love you. So Rashid says, one love.
Wonderfully put. Thank you so much. That's Rashid Stone Coyote Patton. Love to watch you soar, and can't wait to taste some more of that good food. I'm gonna have to find you. I have to go out and find this restaurant you're talking about and find you on the internet as well. So we'll put everything up on SundayMorningLive.net that you talked about so you can click over and get it. But thanks again, and hopefully we can talk again because I have some more questions like, oh my God, so many more. Why not soy? Why not? I mean, there I could go on forever. So thank you, and we'll talk again soon. And thanks so much for calling us here at Sunday Morning Live.
Hi, this is attorney Jai Person Lin, and you're checking in on Sunday Morning Live on Blog Talk Radio.
All right, thank you so much, Jai, for reminding us that you're listening to Sunday Morning Live. I'm Isidro Person Lin, your producer and host, and that was Chef Rashid, not Rashid, W-R-A-W, Rashid, Stone Coyote Patton, and I'd like to thank him. Now, there was a longer interview, and I was so concerned about time this morning, I think I cut too much, but we will present that on SoundCloud and put a link on SundayMorningLive.net. Give us a little bit to do it, because we have to run right out after the show and go to the Obama office, but that's another story for later on in the program. But what he didn't get to say was he has had his food, and I saw the kale, the dried kale. It was delicious. I bought a bag and I brought it to class when I was teaching at West LA College at the time. And my intern, we had tutors that worked with us, and he got a hold of that bag and was eating the heck out of it. I'm like, wait a minute. Back almost was $8. Let's cut it out. But he loved it, and he was a young man. So, you know, my point is that the stuff is natural. It's good. It tastes good. And you should give it a try. You really should give it a try. I really want to try that recipe. And because a lot of times, you know, you've been thinking this way, but you still feel pulled back in on Thanksgiving and Christmas. When you have to, and other big, you know, holidays and things, when you're all around and everybody wants to bring that recipe from back in the day that we used to love and things like that, but they may be the ones that are putting us in those dialysis centers and things like that and getting our limbs chopped off. What is his name? Dr. Relaford, Bill Relaford, here locally, spoke at the KJLH Women's Health Forum some years back, and he talked about, look at your plate. Now, does it look like a rainbow, or is everything brown? And when you eat fried chicken, gravy, and all those kinds of things, your plate is kind of brown, you know, the cooked meat and all that, you know. But if you have, you know, kale and sweet potatoes and corn and tomatoes and things like that, then your plate has beautiful colors and is so attractive that it lets your body know that that's really what it wants. So I know the other stuff tastes good. I will never take anything away from fried chicken. It tastes delicious. I get that. But the way it clogs your arteries and the different things that it does, if you have it once in a while, like Jareem has these t-shirts that say vegan-like, that's one thing. But to have it every day, some of us have it every day, 2-3 times a week, it's crazy. When we were little, we used to make ice cream, and that's one thing Karis did. We made ice cream after the last segment, and I will play that next week. But
the point is she made it just from some bananas and coconut milk and cinnamon and chocolate, and we had a good time. And just put it in the blender, we had ice cream. But when I was a kid, we had to put ice cream in a big old thing to churn it, and you had salt in it, and you had to, you know, do all that. And you did that maybe on a Sunday, maybe once in a while. But now we eat ice cream every day. It wasn't meant to eat every day. It clogs us up. Let me get off my soapbox. I have enough people here with soapboxes of their own. Coming up next, we'll hear from Kayla Mason. And I really enjoyed talking to this young woman. And there's another thing I wanted to tell you really quickly. If you look at the schedule, you'll see that we're about 10 minutes ahead of schedule, and the vast majority of you listen after the fact. I'd like to thank you very much for supporting the program, because, and I wish you could be here live, because sometimes I go in the chat room and it's kind of lonely in there. You wonder, like, where is everybody? But then when I look at the numbers, thousands of you have listened, and I thank you. You know that you can always fast forward if you're trying to get to something in particular, or go back if you want to hear something again, because you're listening after the fact. So it's on demand, and you can use there's a little tiny dot on the timeline. You just drag it across and fast forward if you're running out of time, and you can always come back. So that's that. And after Kayla, we're going to hear from Vanessa Thomas. And I'm just enjoying this discussion again, started by my son and put it priority on my plate. Jareen Person Lynn, if you go to SundayMorningLive.net, you can see a link to support him and his work through the T-shirts that he has. He has one called Vegan and the other one called Vegan-like. Which one are you? So, okay, so right now we're going to hear from Kayla right after this quick bumper.
This is Latavia Collins, and you're listening to Sunday Morning Live.
Welcome back to Sunday Morning Live. I'm Isidra Person Lynn, and I'm really excited to be talking about juicing and veganism and raw food diets and all that this morning. We've already heard from Rashid, who is the chef, Chef Rashid, and Karis Melina Brown. But today, now on this segment, we're going to hear from a young woman who I just happened to see. The blog came rolling past my screen, and it said Juicing While Black. So, you know, immediately I was interested, and it was on a site called SheTroit, Women Dreaming Detroit. So anyway, our guest this morning is Kayla Mason, and I want her to explain to you how she got into all this juicing. Good morning, Kayla, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, there's a beautiful picture of her there standing with this green stuff. If you want to follow along, you can go to SheTroit. It's like Detroit with she instead of Detroit. SheTroit.com/personal-insights/juicingwhileblack, and there's dashes between juicing while black, and you'll see the blog, you'll see Kayla, and it's not that long. Do you mind reading, or do you have it in front of you, just the beginning part?
Actually, I can pull it up right now.
Okay, just read that interaction that you had that made you start talking about this subject, because it was so right on. I've been dealing with this. And people always act like, well, you know, you're going to die, or, you know, what about your protein,
right,
and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so my more productive conversations, unfortunately, have been with people who are not of color. That's been interesting. So when I read yours, it was really speaking to an issue that I've long dealt with. So have you pulled it up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Juicing While Black. I'm walking into a civic engagement training in Midtown Detroit when a white lady stops me, glances at my hand, and asks, "What did you juice?" I have my work bag in one hand and a mason jar filled with green liquid in the other. Well, it's kale, celery, apple, and grapes. And both of us say, "The green machine," at the exact same time. Since becoming a vegan about a year ago and adopting juicing into my habits, I've experienced new conversations like this with total strangers that center on vegetables and herbs. And that is always a bittersweet moment for me. The sweetness is from the joy of meeting souls who share my interest in juicing, but the bitterness because these conversations rarely happen with Black people. It has been a harsh reality, knowing at juicing events and recipe seminars, I will be one of, if not the only, African American in the room. It reminds me of moments in my life when I've participated in a PhD workshop or attended a professional development seminar, feeling like an outsider to experiences that should be a part of the African-American community, my community. But why are these experiences not a part of my community? In college, I learned terms like systemic oppression and how corporations will place fast food restaurants at corners in low-income neighborhoods, knowing the poisons are addictive and will keep the poor consumers poor. And when I explain to someone what juiciness, can I blame their brush off? About 85% of the time, the comment is gross. I would never. How can you do that? That is too healthy. And my most unsettling encounter was an older African-American woman in her late 50s who told me that I should be enjoying life at 24 and wait to juice when an illness happens and I'm forced to do it. I was thinking of giving up on my people when one day at work, a black woman in her early 20s asked, "What is that in your jar?" So I proceeded to explain to her how pulp was extracted from the fruits and vegetables that were placed in the juicer and how you can absorb nutrients faster this way and also cleanse your body from the poisons and processed foods. She asked if she could smell it and said, "Wow, I had no idea that's what juicy meant. I'm going to try it. Thanks for sharing." And at that moment, I realized it didn't matter if I was one of the few in the black world who juiced, because I could help change that. Struck by that idea, I soon just began telling others about my eating habits, posting photos on Instagram and Facebook. And within about 2 months' time, people from different races who followed me were trying it, asking me questions, as if I was this expert in a realm they never knew. And what I realized through that process is that it isn't only black people who don't know. A few friends and I decided to start a young juicing group with the goal of making juicing hip and cool. And meantime, I'm still looking forward to the day someone of my race looks at my jar, looks at me, and together we smile and say, "The Green Machine."
And just go ahead and read the part for those who don't know what the Green Machine is.
So Green Machine refers to any green fruits and vegetables that you juice all together, and it can include kale, apples, grapes, celery, lettuce, spinach, cilantro, anything green. And then the machine aspect is the idea that green juice can jumpstart your day and the machine can jumpstart your day.
Okay. And so, and just to let you know, Kayla is from right here in South LA, where we broadcast from, but you moved to Detroit. How did that happen?
Yeah, I originally was planning to stay in LA, and I got accepted to the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, for my master's in social work,
okay.
And they offered me a fellowship, so I decided to relocate. I graduated in December, and the Harriet Tubman Center is where I did my field placement. They offered me a full-time position. So I've been here for the past 7 to 8 months since graduating.
Mm-hmm. And you're going into one of your first winters. This might be your second now.
Yes, this is my second.
California girl.
It's not that bad. Actually, I found that I like the snow.
Okay, yes. I'm from New Jersey, and I'm here for that reason, because the snow was on my last nerve. But I went to undergrad in upstate New York. So are you studying for a PhD?
Yeah, that is my plan. Right now I'm working with some professors at U of M on working on their articles on youth development. But, yeah, my passion is youth, young people, so I plan to get my PhD in youth development.
Well, before your article, I hadn't really thought about the fact that younger people tend not to juice, although they love Jamba Juice. You know,
yeah.
Young people will go to Jamba Juice, but when it comes to just juicing at home and making sure you have raw, you know, fresh, organic fruits and vegetables and things like that, you don't really hear about it. It's always like the people who are trying to lose weight or trying to get healthier because of some looming illness or something like that. And it never dawned on me. Now, my son, the reason I became a vegan, and I guess it's been, I guess I just put it out of my head, but it's only been less than 6 months. And he's 31, and he posted on his Facebook page this video about the living conditions of the animals we eat. It turned my stomach. It just, I was so done. I had done this before when another young friend had a seminar at her house, and she showed the movie Eating. And so after that, I was done with chicken and beef and all that. And then there's this other video watching people drag this cow to his death, and he's screaming and kicking and, you know, pulling back. And it was just so, when you think about this bun, this burger on the bun and where it came from, you know, it kind of makes you stop. And when you don't think about it, it's just, like you say, there's a McDonald's on every corner or whatever, you just stop, get a piece of that cow and eat it, not thinking about what the cow had to go through to bring it to you. So you're 24?
Yes.
And now, what exactly got you into it?
So I look at documentaries a lot, and I watched this documentary called Food Inc. Actually, that was my first really aha moment, just in terms of politically learning that, you know, there are people at the Department of Agriculture that, like, are paid, and their campaigns are paid through people in the meat industry, and, like, you know, just those documentaries kind of revealing that we're told that milk is healthy for us, and we're supposed to drink milk from cows, and, like, we're supposed to have more protein, and we can only get protein from meat. And just hearing all these things that I found out were lies, I've always been into social justice, and I just felt like I needed to learn and research on my own. And so after watching that film, I started reading other books and watching other documentaries. And I think after this documentary called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, where this guy kind of follows a two-month lifestyle of juicing, is when I realized that I could possibly try being a vegan. Because I was actually born and raised in South Central by my father, who's a single parent, and so he didn't really do a lot of cooking. So I knew if I wanted to be a vegan, like, I would have to figure out innovative ways to get the nutrients and stuff that I needed. Mm-hmm. And people told me about juicing, and so that's why juicing is so, it's really a really active part of my eating habit.
Huh. That is really interesting to hear. I have, you know, for weight loss, years ago would do fast, 30-day fast, 40-day fast. And I remember waking up on the 40th day saying, this is why Jesus would fast, because you have this euphoria, you have this, you know, just cleansing. You know, if you had dandruff, the dandruff goes away, your skin clears up, everything becomes more vital, but you can't live that way. And whenever ultimately I would break the fast, I would eat crazy. It was almost like opening up the floodgates, you know?
Yeah.
So I just recently, you know, still struggling with weight and all that, and a looming surgery and all that kind of stuff coming up, I said, well, I can't live by just juice alone, but I could eat like that. What if I ate the stuff because I always felt like I ate the best when I was fasting. And so what if I ate the foods I put in the juice and included juice in it? And that's what I've been doing. And I have been really, and then also this news about wheat and gluten and all that. And so when you eliminate all that, I just eliminated meat, wheat, and dairy. Then I just felt so much better. Now, with a busy young woman and a lifestyle, I notice you have these mason jars. It's funny, your last name is Mason. Anyway, you have these mason jars, so you have to prepare for a day.
So my full-time position is a community organizer, but I'm also doing PhD work, and I'm also working on some other projects. So I don't have time to, like, juice as much and be in the kitchen as much as I would want. So, and there's a lot of different articles and stuff you research about it, but basically they say if you are able to keep the juice from the machine in mason jars in a sealed container and try to keep it as cold as possible, that you can try to
keep
as many nutrients in the jar as possible. So sometimes I'll have to juice maybe like three jars, and then I'll take one to work, and then I'll have one for dinner at night if it's too late when I get home.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so, I mean, that's good to know. I never knew about that. I saw you with the jars, and I heard you or read you talking about going into a meeting, so you had to have them prepared. What I always do, and one thing that bothers me, is when I juice, It takes me 4 minutes. I timed it to clean the juicer. So it's not as bad as you think, because a lot of people, oh, I don't have time for cleaning the juicer. And da, da, da. 4 minutes, what's that? But what I tend to do is make that mess, you know, clean, you know, make all the juice and everything, and it's one cup, maybe one for me and one for my husband, and that's it. So in other words, I don't make it for the rest of the day, but I have no problem going to the store, Trader Joe's or wherever, and getting some juice that will be in my refrigerator, you know. So I'm like, why don't I ever, I kind of think that if I don't consume it right then and there, then it'll be devoid of nutrients. So this is good. This is good information. So what didn't I ask you that you really think people need to know, especially about your experience when it comes to juicing and your lifestyle and all that?
I think it's important, especially for young people. Like, I, even with my friends and stuff, it's this idea that, like, we have to be able to feel and taste the satisfaction when it comes to food. And so, like, McDonald's, for example, has a great aroma to young people, where, you know, if they smell the jar of juice, it's kind of like, no, I would prefer a burger. I think it's really important to know that, like, for me even, juicing was not ideal in taste. But understanding that your body, you should invest in your body, and that you should absorb foods and nutrients that will be able to help you and give you, you know, healthy energy, not with a lot of sugar. And so I say all of that to say that I think it's important to understand that sometimes even I struggle. I have moments where I'm like, oh, this juice, you know, it would be great to go and get something more that tastes better. Mm-hmm. But after effects are, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I mean, after I drink a whole jar of juice, like, all day, I have energy, I'm productive, I feel like I'm more active in my meetings, and overall, I just think the benefits outweighs the taste. And there are a lot of books that can teach you how to manipulate the smell and the taste of it. Because I've tried to explore with some of my friends, and that's usually the only thing they say is the taste is awful or they don't like the taste. But there's a lot of books that can help with that. And then one that works for me is The Juicing Bible by Pat Crocker.
The Juicing Bible. So it talks about different combinations. Now, I assume you're not juicing all day, every day. What do you eat?
Yeah, this is the bad question for me because I'm not a really good cook. I eat a lot of just broad, like, just vegetables and fruit. There are times where I'll eat tofu or different salad. I'll try different salads. But I'm in the process of learning and trying to find new vegan dishes. So my honest answer is when I'm not eating vegetables or fruit or juicing, I'm probably at a vegan store or a vegan restaurant picking up something.
And there's more and more available. You're in Detroit.
Yeah.
So if they're in Detroit, you know they're in LA, they're wherever you are. And
there's a lot of phone apps too. There's a vegan app that I use wherever I'm at and locate like local vegan restaurants.
Do you know the name of it?
No. Actually, if you go onto your app search, if you search vegan restaurant, there's a few that'll pop up because I use a different one.
Okay. Well, that's good. So yeah. I see that you're over there. Now, how is Detroit doing right now weather-wise? What's going on?
It's not snowing, thank goodness, yet. it's okay. It's a little windy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time for hooking up with us here at Sunday Morning Live and sharing your story. So it doesn't have to be old people, you guys. She's only 24, and she's already done a lot of the research. She did tell me, she says, I'm not an expert on this, but this is just what I do. And you could say, if you just look at her shining face and her picture, you could tell that something good is working for her. So I thank you very much. How can people follow you on Twitter? Do you have a website?
Oh, my goodness. You can actually, I do have a Facebook, Kayla Mason. I have an Instagram. It's actually the K Kayla Mason, P-H-E, Kayla Mason, or you can actually email me at Kayla, C as in car, M as in Mason, at umich.edu. That's umich.edu.
And Kayla is K-A-Y-L-A. So I see that you're struggling with a cold a little bit there. We hope
yes,
you feel better. We hope you feel better soon. And the juices, sometimes, you know, knowing that you don't have a lot of dairy in your system and all that, the juices can help you cleanse. My friend always calls it cleansing whenever she has a cold. And yep. Sometimes the body has to cleanse. So thanks again for speaking with us. Check her out. Do you blog often on She Detroit?
I am going to start. This is my first post. It's just to try to get an idea of, like, if people were interested. But it seems that a lot of people are interested in, like, juicing and eating healthy. So I will definitely be on She Detroit more often.
And that's the best way to community organize. So you take good care. And hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Okay, so now we have it. It's in the box. It will air. I will email you the link if I haven't already. It'll air live Sunday from 10 to 12, and after that it's up there forever. So you can. Okay, where was the song I had all queued up to play? Anyway, okay, so that's how we do. We pre-record here at Sunday Morning Live to make sure, because she's in Detroit, so that's a whole different time zone. By the way, did you set your clocks back? It is 11:25 right now as I speak, but a lot of you will be listening in the future. But make sure you do set your clocks back. A lot of them already are set back, so don't try to set your Mac back or your laptops, your cell phones. They do it automatically, and then just make sure your car, because a lot of times the cars don't do it, or the other timepieces that you rely on, you've set all these back, but then the one in the bathroom you didn't set back, and you didn't realize that you are going to be way early today if you don't change your clocks. Thank you very much, Kayla Mason. I have this cute little song queued up. I must have uploaded the original and not the one that I queued up, but it was a cute song called She's a Vegan, and I think I have it on SundayMorningLive.net. The little voice you hear in the background is little Angelo. They were going to play their final football game yesterday for Baldwin Hills here in South LA. And before he came over with his friend, they were all dressed up in their blue and gold uniforms. And before they went to go, guess what they drank? The Green Machine. Jai has them drinking Green Machine, you know, before every game. And he loves Jamba Juice, and I believe they have it at Jamba Juice. So anyway, so that's that. Again, I said we're a little bit before or ahead of schedule. So if we have some time at the end of the show and you'd like to call in and add your two cents to this conversation about veganism and juicing and raw food dieting, go ahead, not dieting, but a raw food diet. You can call 619-996-1674. Just type it in the chat room. If you're logged in, then I'll see it, and then I can share it with the people. Okay, so let's meet. For the first time in all these years, my friend Stan Thomas has been married for 22 years, and the first time I met over the phone his wife was this past week. So again, these are pre-recorded. Thank you very much for your support here at Sunday Morning Live. And before we go to Vanessa Thomas, who has a testimony, if you're thinking this juicing is just something that people are doing, she has a real testimony. I didn't know it. I didn't ask her to come on because of it. But you really need to hear her story. So I am going to pull that up. And I just want you to know that on SundayMorningLive.net, we also have a donate button. And if you'd like to help our work here, you know, because this is all volunteer, what Darlene Donlow does, what Dr. Kwaku Person Lynn does, and what Hannibal Taboo. We only have 5 left, so I include Hannibal, although because he is a father and children and all that, he had to stop contributing to Sunday Morning Live, and he just does it periodically. I still wanted to give them a parting gift. So if you guys could help us out on that, we would absolutely love it. So when we come back, we'll meet Vanessa Thomas. Now it's time to watch the game. Some red guys miss shining. If we stop blaming, we could get the better condition. Wake up, world.
Sunday Morning Live. Thanks for listening.
This is the 96th episode of Sunday Morning Live. I'm Isidro Person Lynn, and my guest for this segment has been juicing for quite a while. I have been friends with her photographer, among other things, husband, Stan Thomas, and this is his wife, Vanessa Thomas. Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Live.
Good morning, Isidro.
You know, I've heard so many great things about you over the years. I'm finally getting to talk to you. But Stan told me that you had been juicing for a long time, and I just got to say this. I know Stan has been having these food blogs. He's a foodie, and he loves these blogs, and he talks about meat and all that. And I'm not saying you don't eat any meat. We haven't even gotten to that part of the conversation. But it's been my experience that women seem to be more into this juicing, healthy eating, you know, raw food, whatever. And men love their meat and casseroles and, you know, I don't know. Has that been your experience?
Exactly. My husband is definitely a carnivore to the heart.
So what about you?
When I first started juicing, he thought he was the one that would kind of turn up his nose and say, "Oh my God, what's this
point?" So now, are you just juicing and having a steak on the side, or have you made any decisions? Are you vegan? Are you vegetarian?
I don't know. I kind of don't like to really put myself in a category because every now and then I will. I don't really eat steaks, but every now and then I might eat something like cheese because I really like cheese. But I don't eat it a lot because I know what it does to the body.
Right.
So every now and then I might slip. So I don't really call myself – I don't put myself in any category. But I am, I would say, maybe 95-97% vegan.
Okay. So I'm glad you brought that up because you brought it up first. Let's talk about that. What does cheese do to the body?
It actually clogs you up.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of makes you constipated. So, you know, if you're going to the bathroom regularly and you eat a piece of cheese, or actually with me, if I eat a piece of cheese, I notice it right away.
Yes.
Right. So, and it also causes inflammation. So it creates mucus in the body as well.
That's right.
So it's really not good for our body, especially people of African descent. It's really not good for our bodies.
And see, the thing about it is I had my mother's friend, Mrs. Jones, a great woman growing up. She had to go to the hospital and literally have her colon picked out because she loved cheese so much it had become a brick. And so I've always been afraid of that. But a lot of times when we're thinking, well, I'm not eating a block of cheese. You know how you go to a wine and cheese social or something, there's a block of cheese there. But when you're eating pizza and macaroni and cheese and all these other things with cheese, you're still eating cheese, and it still has that same constipating effect. So we got past that. Let's talk about what you do when it comes to juicing. First of all, why did you start?
Okay, I started because I had a mass on my lung, and the doctors wanted me to have surgery and go through chemotherapy and radiation, and I refused to do that. I thought, okay, there must be a better way. And so I just started reading this book, and this book was called, I think it was, the title just slipped my mind. I'm sorry, the title just slipped my mind. But I read that book that particular night, and the very next day I changed my diet. Hmm. And it had to do with a guy who was 42 years old, and he had colon cancer. And he said that his mom had died of colon cancer at the age of 42, and he said he didn't want to be like his mom. So he became a vegan at that particular point, and his body healed itself within a year. So I thought, okay, well, let me try that route. And that's what I did. The very next day, I started eating raw fruits and vegetables.
Hmm.
Now, pretty much 8% of my diet was raw. And then the other 20% I would have, you know, cooked foods, but it was all vegan. And within 10 months, the mass of my lung was gone.
What? And so you went to, did you tell your doctor what you were doing?
No, I didn't.
Yeah,
and
that's a good idea.
No, I did it because the doctor, every time I had to go to the oncologist. Yes, I had to go to the oncologist. And every time I went, I had to go about once a month at least. And every time I went, you know, the oncologist was saying, well, what are you doing? Because I was dropping weight like crazy. I was dropping weight a lot. And she thought, well, what's going on here? Why are you dropping so much weight? And I didn't tell her what I was doing because, you know, I knew that she really didn't. I don't think she really would have understood.
Right.
So, so I went and got an MRI about 10 months later after I changed my diet. And when I did that, the doctor said, oh, my gosh, everything, you're healed. All you have is scar tissue. You're
That is amazing. That is amazing. Yeah, that's the reason I'm saying I'm glad you didn't tell your doctor, because I think some of them are so roped into what they've been trained in medical school that it would have been her mission at that point to prove you wrong, you know. And sometimes if she didn't know you were doing all that, she can't say that. But if she knew you were, you know, being vegan or juicing or doing all the things you were doing, it might have been like, I don't know. It just seems to me that I don't trust that. And I'm so glad you said that.
Well, the thing is that when they wanted me to have surgery, and I just started asking questions, well, what are you going to do when you have surgery, when you cut my chest open? She said, I'm going to cut your chest open, and I'm going to take out all your organs. And I'm going to inspect all your organs. I said, okay, well, when you find something, are you going to take care of it right then and there? She said, oh, no, we're just going to put your organs back in. You close your back up, and this gets before another surgery. I said, well, wait, I don't want to do that. I said, well, how long is the recovery process? She said, anywhere from 6 months to 18 months. Oh, no, I don't have time for that. So I figured, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die doing something else. I'm not going to have you kill me.
And you might, you know, because you've been working for a long time and you have doctors you may trust, but there are a lot of us who don't have medical coverage because of being in between jobs. And so then you're at the mercy of trainees. You know, they're not doctors yet. They're like practicing on you. And so you don't really trust the system. So I definitely can understand that. So give me, like, when you get up in the morning, what kind of juice do you make?
Okay, I have my favorite juice. This is my green juice, and it's kale. It's actually five simple ingredients. Kale, apples to sweeten it up because kale can be a little bitter, lemon, cucumbers, and I put ginger in every juice that I make. I put ginger in it because I like the spiciness of it.
Ooh, it kicks it. Yes.
It also has an anti-inflammatory agent in it.
Huh.
So I love ginger. So I throw ginger in every juice that I make.
All right, let's go back to that lemon, because I was just, YouTube is my university. There's so many people on there showing you how to make juices and things. And I noticed that they cut the peeling off the lemon before they put in the juicer. Do you do that?
I do not. I put the peel in there also.
Okay. Well, somebody told me, I read somewhere where they said something about it was toxic or whatever. But then I know people, you know, they have those graters, those zests, things that you can grate lemon or orange over your food. So I don't understand why it would be any more poisonous in the juicer than not. But anyway, so that's something. I just do notice that people will cut that off, and it'll be like a square lemon that they throw in because they've cut, you know, off the edges. Okay.
As a matter of fact, there's more nutrients in the peel than there is in the actual
lemon.
The actual meat of the juice or meat of the lemon.
Now, do you make one for you and your husband?
No, he doesn't drink it. Like I told you, he piles up at that. One time he was going through a little health crisis, and I made him some of his favorite juice, which is pineapple juice. He likes pineapple and orange juice.
Uh-huh.
So I make it fresh. And do you know he frowned up at it? I thought, this is fresh juice. It hasn't been sitting on the shelf. It hasn't been pasteurized or anything.
Uh-huh.
This is the best juice you can ever have. And he frowned up at it, but he drank it anyway.
Oh, good. Yeah, so that's what we have to do. We are really the doctors and the kids. They said, let your food be your medicine, your food. All right, so that's in the morning. Do you make juice that you keep around, and so when you come home it's already made, or do you make it fresh every time?
I make it fresh every time.
Huh.
Because it only really is supposed to last for about 24 hours because, you know, just like when you bite into an apple, it's going to turn brown.
Mm-hmm.
It oxidizes. So it... the nutritious value of the juice is only good for up to 24 hours.
So it oxidizes and makes it look kind of... But I was just wondering, because we will buy juice from the store, and, you know, it's been sitting on the shelf for a while or in the freezer, or not the freezer, refrigerator, and we think nothing of it. But when I make juice, I only make it fresh all the time. Now, my husband will drink it if I make it, but he doesn't like that ginger for some reason. But I absolutely love the ginger. All right, so what about smoothies? Do you do those?
Oh, yeah, I do smoothies all the time. I've been doing smoothies forever. I usually do this fruit smoothies. I've been doing kale smoothies, too, green smoothies lately.
And how do you do that?
I'll take kale, water, and I put some dates in it just to kind of sweeten it up a little bit, bananas. And sometimes if I'm just coming from a workout, I'll throw in some flaxseed to make me a little fuller to kind of give it a little more substance.
And that's what flaxseed does? It'll fill you up a little bit more?
Fills you up, and also chia seeds. Chia seeds fill you up and give you energy as well.
Those little black things.
Chia seeds. The little black seeds,
All right, so what did you say? Kale? Water.
Kale, water, banana.
Banana.
Dates. And that's just as a sweetener.
Uh-huh.
And flaxseed, chia seeds, and that's it.
And that's not a juicer situation. That's a blender situation. You put it in the blender, blend it up, and then you just drink it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's really good.
How many leaves of kale do you use?
About five or more.
Okay.
Yeah, about.
So you're not just putting one leaf. I'm just trying to let people know what you're starting this. Don't be stingy. You know, put in enough so you can get the full value out of it. My husband grows it in the backyard. We use the black kale, or they call it dino kale. And and the curly kale I haven't really gotten into as far as juicing goes, but I like to make kale chips out of the curlier kale. I like the black kale too for chips, but anyway. So now what about lunch, or do you juice for lunch?
When I juice, I just juice because I don't have a lot of time to juice every time because, you know, cleaning the machine is a kind of a chore. It just takes a long time.
Yeah.
So I'll juice once in a day, and I'll actually put it in a thermos, and I'll carry it with me to work. So that will be, and I'll just drink on that all day.
Now, are you using a Vitamix or are you using a regular blender?
I do have a Vitamix, and that's what I use. I use my Vitamix.
Okay, and so is it worth it? I mean, do you see the difference?
Absolutely, it's worth it. And not a plug for Vitamix, but you know the Vitamix lasts forever. I've had mine for almost 20 years,
wow.
And it's still going strong.
Well, yeah. I need to get one. And matter of fact, I think I bought one. I brought it home, and my husband said, "You just spent $300 for a blender." And I said, "Oh, forget this. I took it back because it made sense to me." But I'm trying to tell you, it wasn't the same. What they were doing in the store, making and giving me, tasted delicious. When I brought it home, it was lumpy and gritty, and it wasn't the same. So I don't know what I was doing wrong.
Oh no, gosh! I live by my Vitamix.
Okay. I wasn't leaving it on long enough or something, but it was just like, oh God, this is horrible. So I took it back and got my money back, and I've been using my regular blender and my Jack LaLanne juicer. My cousin has another kind of masticator juicer. How important is the juicer?
Well, yeah, the juicer is very important because with the Jack LaLanne juicers, it has that centrifugal force.
Right.
And because the rotation is so fast, it actually destroys some of the enzymes.
Uh-huh.
You know, you might want to get a better juicer. What I have is a Green Star juicer where the rotation is a lot slower, so it rotates at about a little over 100 RPMs.
Uh-huh.
So it's actually better. It doesn't really destroy the enzymes. What I'm looking at getting a little bit later when I can save up enough money is a hydraulic press.
Okay.
So it doesn't rotate at all. It presses the juice, so it's actually even better because you get more of the enzymes. It's kind of like that cold pressed olive oil you hear about, which is much more healthy. You have cold pressed juices, which is much more healthy than the ones with the rotation that rotate.
Wow. So is there another favorite recipe before we let you go you'd like to share with us for juice?
Okay, I like the carrot juices. I do carrots, apples, and ginger.
Ooh.
Carrot, celery, and ginger. That's what it is.
Carrot, celery? Okay.
Celery and ginger.
Yeah. And celery is supposed to be calming. So if you're having a stressed out day, you know, celery juice is really good. There's a Jamaican place here in Los Angeles that sells, I think it's cucumber and carrot. And something else. It's such a calming juice. I think it's called Juicies or Natural Mart. Anyway, I forget the name. Please forgive me for you know. But when you, it's a Jamaican restaurant. But they sell, and as part of their diet, they have this juice. They love the carrot juice, but I think they put some kind of milk or something in that. But there's this regular cucumber, carrot, something else, just maybe celery, and it's delicious. So,
yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Also, if you have a sodium deficiency, salt is the worst thing to do. A juice, celery, because celery has a high content of sodium, and it's perfect for your body. Yes.
I can't imagine anyone having a deficiency of salt. They put it in everything.
I guess not, if you
salt, it's not a deficiency of salt. It's a deficiency in sodium.
Oh, there's a difference.
Yeah,
ah.
Different things.
I see. Well, Vanessa Thomas, you have learned, you have really gone in there. I know you've always been conscientious of the body. I know back to, you know, you've played all kind of sports. You've done all kind of things, you know, Stan has kept me up on the different things that you've involved yourself in. And is that why you think you're more conscientious besides the fact that, you know, you have the health scare? Do you think it's because you're a natural athlete?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a natural athlete. I'm a wannabe natural athlete.
Well, you know, I mean, you have grown children, right, and a college-age child and all of that. So it's not like, you know, we're that young. So for you to still be doing things, you know, a lot of people sit down after a while, and you're still active. You go to the gym. You do that kind of thing. And I was just wondering if because of that you feel the need to really give your body the best nutrients.
Well, you know what? After my health crisis, I actually just started reading up on a lot of it. And as I started, the more I read, the more I realized that what I was doing was not the best thing for my body. And my body is the temple of God. So it's like, why not take care of God's temple?
Right.
And that's my body. And so that's when I started doing that. And I thought, you know what? It's actually making me feel better. I feel better when I do it. And working out is just something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy working out, enjoy sports. And I just, you know, and that would be my passion. If I were able to be a professional athlete, I would do it in a heartbeat. But
right.
Now, you know, I'm a little old for that. But that's just something that I really enjoy.
Well,
and I do it because I enjoy it.
On our show page, SundayMorningLive.net, I have a video of this woman, a grandmother, who was juicing and eating raw foods and growing her own food in the backyard and all that. And the story is about her and how youthful she looks. And her husband is in the video talking about how when he goes out with her, people say, "Is that your granddaughter?" So if you tell your husband, I said, to start drinking that juice with you, or he's going to get that same response one of these days. And, you know, he takes all kind of medicine and stuff. And, you know, he says he wishes that he had started what she started when she started it. But it's never too late, is it?
Oh, no, it's never too late. It's never too late because we produce new cells every year. Every 12 months, our body is different.
Mm.
Every 12 months, our cells are different. So, yeah, and that's what happens. You know, just like your healing, you know, when what you said, you know, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food, and that is real.
Yeah.
That is very real.
Yeah, because these medicines are like, they might clear up what you have today, but then in 2 years you find out it started something else. So, you know.
Yes, the medicines are actually, they're relieving symptoms. They're not healing anything.
Yes.
They're just relieving the symptoms. They make you feel better.
Right.
But they don't take care of anything. If you have a headache and you take an aspirin, it relieves the headache, yes, but the problem is still there.
Right.
So the thing is, you need to fix the problem so that the problem goes away and then the symptoms go away.
That's true. Okay, so as we say our fond farewells, what do you do professionally?
I'm actually a professor at a local college, community college.
Oh, okay. So you teach. And what subject?
I teach business and management courses.
Okay. And so business and management are known for being sedentary. So take a page out of Vanessa Thomas's book. Get active. Start paying attention to what you put in your temple. And things can, you know, problems that you have can go away. I'm going to try that. I'm going to talk to you and tell you why I think that. I would love to try that because the doctors will do that. They'll scare you half to death and tell you they got to cut and do. And, you know, so if I heard one person on this planet who was able to reverse symptoms because of the way she ate, then I have to look at that. I can't just throw that, you know, blow that away. I have to look at that because there are other ways. So thank you very much for speaking with us. I wish you all the best, and please tell your family hello.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Come on, girl, won't you come get some? She's a vegan, she ain't gone one none. Super clean like a 65 Chevy, she don't want no meat, all she do is eat veggies. Come on, girl, won't you come get some? Come on, girl, won't you come get some? Super clean like a 65 Chevy, she don't want no meat, all she do is eat veggies.
body banging like a track star, track star. About to go and swoop her up like a NASCAR. She not falling for the swag, she ain't asked for it. Like when I try to give a cheese at the snack bar. I mean a smile, she knew I was on a mission. She said, I'm a vegan, gotta earn your position. I said, that ain't a problem, I'm everything you're missing. Forget the whole stick, I threw her the whole kitchen.
Okay. It's amazing the songs you find. Thank you very much to Vanessa Thomas, who shared her experience with us. As I said, when I was turned on to her, I had no idea that that had been her experience. I thought she just liked juicing. And it's amazing because think about how she would have looked had she let that surgery go forward, all that cutting and scarring. So if you have something coming up, don't think, well, it's too late. You know, you could at least try. You could at least try. And that's what we have been talking about all morning here on Sunday Morning Live. Veganism, eating raw foods, and juicing. So I'd like to thank all the young people and all the people my age who contributed to today's program. And I'd like to ask you, too, if you do me a favor, when you go to SundayMorningLive.net, scroll down to last week's program. This is Sunday Morning Live 96, so it will be Sunday Morning Live 95. And take a listen to Evelyn Allen Johnson. She did a tribute to President Barack Obama. I didn't think I would have time to play it this morning, and actually I did. But go ahead and listen to it because you know the election is Tuesday, and we put it up on YouTube, and she's actually reading it to you. It was in last week's Los Angeles Sentinel. And I also like to give a special shout-out to Dolores Holt. Her book, Heritage, which is a planner, basically it's a calendar, but every day it has Black history. So this is her fifth edition, or is it sixth? Anyway, she's been doing this thing for a long time. And here's a woman who's a survivor of cancer and a heart attack. So she's still doing her thing. She was a former teacher, and this book has a lot of great information. So go to the website, Kinder Press, just like it sounds, kinderpress-heritage.com. And you can order a book there. She just got them back from the printer, LA Business Printing. Go Eric Johnson and crew. So I'm on my way to the Obama office, not the one on Crenshaw, but there's one that Logan Westbrooks and his wife put together down on Washington near Fifth Avenue. And we're still in here, man. Be quiet. And we're going to go over there and see what they've got going because you know the election is Tuesday. So I found out about them yesterday through Carol Hall, and I'm glad to know that somebody just decided to establish this facility. They're open from like 9 to 6. I think they'll be open today, 9 to 6, and you go on over there and help call or whatever. There are other people like Community Coalition, African American Voter Rep. They go door to door. I'm more of a door to door kind of person. I would love to do that. I don't like calling myself because I don't like getting those calls. But some people I heard is very effective because when the people who are undecided talk to a familiar or a voice that's friendly and they have good things to say, then sometimes it does sway them. So that's why the calls are so important. So if you haven't gotten out and gotten involved and started volunteering yet, go ahead and help the campaign out because Wednesday morning, you can't do it then. It'll be too late. So hopefully it'll all be good news. We're hoping and praying that it'll all be good news. Now, to the victims of Hurricane Sandy, I'd like to congratulate you for getting through all that. I do hear there's some more weather coming, some snow, some coldness. So just hang in there. But I understand that they're giving out free gas and people have their lights back on. A lot don't, though. A lot of people are upset. And you can imagine 5 days with no electricity, how would your life be, you know? And people are upset and no gas to get around. Some of the subways are still not working, so I didn't want to let this program close without giving you a tip of the hat because, what you've been through, we've been through here in L.A. in terms of a stoppage of services when there's an earthquake or something like that. It's been a long time, and I hope it stays that way, but the point is we understand what it's like when you can't get to the grocery store, you can't get things that you need because something major has happened and all the services are interrupted. Special kudos to our president and in New Jersey, Governor Christie, and all of those who have gotten together to try to remember Katrina and realize we don't want to go there. So no matter what you say or what you do, though, there is somebody because over 100 people have passed away. So there are 100 families that are grieving, and there are a lot of people who are going through loss of house, places with the trees falling on them and all them, all that. And but so many people in this country have been through all that, and life goes on. So we'd like to give our prayers to you and your families. I have been taking notes on SundayMorningLive.net of everything you heard, except the last few recipes that Vanessa gave, so I'll put those up later on. But I'd like you to know that everything over there, including the recipe that Chef Rashid gave us for the stuffing for Thanksgiving, which is coming up November 22nd. My family's already sending out emails, what are you going to bring, and things like that. So they're planning already. That's a huge day for our family. It's like a big reunion. And every year there's somebody missing because, you know, they passed away. So we really would like for all these, we would like to come, but I would like to see some more healthy things there, which there are healthy things. Don't get me wrong, there are healthy things there, but when you combine them with all the other stuff that you figure, well, I got to have because it's Thanksgiving and this one made her famous recipe or that, we feast. But that's what Thanksgiving was for, like a feast. We feast every day. Some people feast every day. That's how they eat. Every day they feast. You're not supposed to do that. So, okay, so that's that. And let's see. So just to run through my thank yous really quickly, because we only have a few minutes left, and let you know that next week will be Sunday Morning Live number 97. So that means 97, 98, 99, 100. That's four left. So I'd like to thank those of you who really contributed to today's program, not the least of which was Jareen Person Lynn, because he inspired this whole program. He got me here. And thanks to Karis Molina Brown for juicing in the Sunday Morning Live kitchens. I got a lot of editing to do. I can see I'm reading from SundayMorningLive.net. And thanks to Darlene Donlow and Dr. Quake Koo for the time they stepped aside so that we could go ahead and bring this total program to you about juicing and veganism. And thanks to Chef Rashid. That's one thing, we have to do another show because we didn't really talk about veganism per se. We focused more on healthy eating, and so vegan means that you don't have any animal products in your food at all. So there's no dairy, because that all comes from an animal. There's no meat, and then, you know, a lot of people have added this thing about gluten. So you can read up on it and get more information, but that's the difference between a vegan and a vegetarian. Vegetarians will often have, like, they can eat macaroni and cheese. You know, but vegans don't do that. So they make a vegan macaroni and cheese, though. That's really kind of interesting. In the restaurant here locally, Stuff I Eat, they make one. Okay, and then thanks to Chef Rashid. Thanks to Kayla Mason over in Detroit. Thanks to Vanessa Thomas. And thanks to the Forward song. We started the program with it. We're going to end the program with it. It features Neo, Herbie Hancock, and a lot of others. So that is on YouTube, or you can go to forwardsong.com and get that song. And special thanks to the creator who knows we tried to touch people this morning about voting and eating and making our bodies, our temples, make it worthy in your sight. And we really hope that you'll kind of heed this message. If you got this message of all the 96 episodes we've done, and this is the only one you've heard, maybe this message was just for you. This message was for you. And so a lot of you are out there getting more exercise and things like that, but you're still holding on to your little habits when it comes to barbecue and other things like that. But let's just try to keep us from being the ones in those dialysis centers and the chemotherapy and all that kind of stuff. So I want to see what I can do. I put a lot of videos up. You can check them out, different people talking about different things. I even have one of Queen Afua who talks about healthy eating and whatnot. So go to SundayMorningLive.net, and you can actually see the very first segment we had today, Karis Molina Brown. So I'm signing off. You have a wonderful Sunday. Lakers, get well, please, because this losing streak is killing me. Well, it's not killing me, but, you know, it's working my nerves. So please, I think they play later on today. I hope they get it together. And because you can imagine, Kobe Bryant is not happy when he is not winning. And I would not want to have to be the one to play with him or play the game with him. So as we close, we are going to hear a little bit more of Forward, and it'll take us on out of here. But have a great Sunday. We will see you next week, God willing, and the creek don't rise. I'm Isidra Person Lynn. Responsibility.